Good morning and welcome, friends. If you'd like to come and take a seat, we will be starting in just half a minute. Here at St Andrews, we love to gather together each week to worship God who is enthroned from of old. He does not change. He lovingly sustains and strengthens us. Welcome to newcomers. We always love having new people, and if you're listening in, or you haven't been here before, this is what you can expect today. We'll be singing songs to praise our great God. We'll be listening to the very words of the living God, who doesn't like a good wedding. We'll be talking to God and encouraging one another to continue the great work God has begun in us. In our service today, we will have Janice reading the Bible. David will be leading prayers, and thank you for the musos, for Yunglan, and for David, and I've had a name block, Sam. That's great, Sam. Welcome everybody, it's great having you all on team here. And our mission focus for this month is for Anglicare with our Toys and Tucker, Anglican Defence Chaplains, and of course our Federal Government, Anthony Albanese, and the Leader of the Opposition. We will continue to uphold them in prayer later. Christians recognise the uniqueness of Jesus. He is far more than just one of many great teachers or masters. He alone is worthy of all our praise, glory, and honour. He gave up everything in heaven so we could have everything in heaven. So let's join in giving him the glory that rightfully is his alone.
Through endless days.
Thank you. Please have a seat. We are delighted to have Peter Morphew with us today, and he is going to be preaching later in the service, but for now he's just going to give us a little taste.
I need you to wave to me if you've ever been to a wedding. If you've ever been to a wedding. Oh, yes. Never been to a wedding? Yes, I thought we had everyone, but some people were sitting on their hands or something. We're going to be talking about a wedding. A couple of different weddings. A wedding of a king and an everyday wedding that often goes unnoticed and is probably the most exciting wedding of all. I hope that's as clear as mud.
We are delighted to have kids as part of this congregation. And just before they head out for their program, please join with me as we pray for them. Loving Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us with young people in this congregation. We long that they would see how wonderful and dependable Jesus is, that they would listen to him and always choose to live his way. Please continue to guide their leaders, and we thank you, Father, that this is the best way for them to live. And we praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. While the young people head out for their program, you might like to say hello to people who are around you. We might continue those conversations after the end of the service. In the scriptures, there you are, today's Bible teaching will be on a royal wedding. We've just greeted each other, thank you, well done. In the scriptures, we are encouraged to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous one their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Being an unrighteous or sinful person is really not a very popular idea today, and it's not something that's spoken about very much out in public. I don't know about for you, but I know that for me, I find it very difficult to comprehend or recognise the entire corruption of my human nature. No wonder Jesus says his followers need to die to self. A life of self-seeking, self-pleasing, self-confidence, and self-satisfaction is ultimately self-destroying. Jesus does not want us to implode. He longs to free us from living a hollow, hopeless life. So before a general confession, let's just silently ask him now to reveal where each one of us has been blinded from living his way. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the Bible, we are exhorted not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, which we can't anyway, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart in full assurance of faith and pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that we may live godly, righteous, and obedient lives, and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray for us before we hear from God's word. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son, Jesus. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Janice is now going to come and read to us this psalm, Psalm 45, which will be on the screen.
Psalm 45. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. You are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your side, you mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in the cause of truth, humility, and justice. Let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. All your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From palaces adorned with ivory, the music of the strings makes you glad. Daughters of kings are among your honoured women. At your right hand is the royal bride in gold of Ophir. Listen, daughter, and pay careful attention. Forget your people and your father's house. Let the king be enthralled by your beauty. Honour him, for he is your lord. The city of Tyre will come with a gift. People of wealth will seek your favour. All glorious is the princess within her chamber. Her gown is interwoven with gold. In embroidered garments she is led to her king. Her virgin companions follow her, those brought to be with her. Led in with joy and gladness, they enter the palace of the king. Your sons will take the place of your fathers. You will make them princes throughout the land. I will perpetuate your memory through all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for the invitation to come and be with you today. It's good to see friends I've met a number of times now, and to see visitors, even like my family, which is great. Would you please pray with me? Gracious God, we always need you to help us. We always need you to show the way. We need you to be our teacher. So we ask that this day you would enable us to hear your word, that we would hear the word of the living God, that we would respond to you, and in so doing would honour the name of the Lord Jesus. And so we pray in his name. Amen. So a royal wedding, a royal wedding. Hand up, no, stand up if you have ever been to a royal wedding. Oh. Oh well. Would you go to a royal wedding if you got an invitation just out of the blue? If you got an invitation to go to the next royal wedding, would you go? Yeah, a number of you would. Royal weddings. This psalm is about a royal wedding. Not one of these two, but these are the only two that I've really had much interest in. The first one where it was an Aussie bride, and the second one, which was the first one, where the bride was somebody that we wish was an Aussie. I have to tell you, I didn't get an invitation to either of the weddings. There is an intrigue about royal weddings, isn't there? There's something that gets us in, something that grabs our attention. For a moment, we step out of our mundane lives into a different world. And for a moment, we believe that there can be a happily ever after. The royal wedding in this psalm is a bit strange because we're not told which king of Israel it is. But nonetheless, it's an awe-inspiring occasion. Even the writer of the psalm, the writer of this wedding song, is captivated. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses to the king. He's caught up in the moment as he writes his song for the wedding. He's caught up by the splendor. His heart is stirred. I wonder what stirs your heart. Is it family? Is it a splendiferous sunrise? Or perhaps you prefer the end of the day, a sunset? Is there a piece of music that stirs your heart? What is it that grabs you in this way? Will our hearts be stirred as we look at this song, as we look at this psalm? I pray that that be the case. Normally on the wedding, the bride is the centre of attention. We all know that, don't we? Even the men among us know that the bride is the centre of attention. What's she wearing? What's it all about? It's all about her. For some reason, she has the centre of attention. The guys, well, they're there for the window dressing. As long as they don't touch anything they shouldn't or stumble over lines, it's great. But in this psalm, the focus is on the groom. Almost entirely on the groom. And he is very impressive. He is very impressive. You are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever. It's strange, however, that in this wedding song, the author goes straight to not the face, but his garments. Gird your sword on your side, you mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendour and majesty. I have to ask another question about weddings. Have you ever been to a wedding where the groom had a sword on his side? No? Well, perhaps if he did have, he was expecting a bit of trouble at the reception. I don't know. But both Charles and Frederick had swords. I think Charles is just assuring Diana that it's ceremonial. I'm not sure. So, obviously, because it's a king, we might expect a sword. In verse 4, we read this. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in the cause of truth, humility, and justice. This king is to reflect the characteristics of God, truth, humility, and justice. And as the king follows God's lead, this will enable him to achieve awesome deeds. These are the characteristics, of course, for all of God's people. Truth, humility, and justice. This is a very impressive groom. He is a very impressive man. And in verse 8 we see not only does he look good, he smells good. All your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. This magnificent man is standing at the end of the aisle waiting for his bride to approach. And as she does, he whispers something to her. Forget your family. Forget your family. Forget your people and your father's house. What a strange thing to whisper to your bride. What a strange thing. Seems harsh, doesn't it? But it's very significant because this woman, whoever she is to marry the King of Israel. Her allegiance will no longer be to her father, her family, her country. Her first allegiance must now be to the king, her husband. And that's what happened with Mary Donaldson, wasn't it? She'll always probably speak with an Aussie accent. For her whole life, on her birth certificate, it will say that she was born in Australia. But her allegiance has shifted. And we understand that, don't we? Because one day she's going to be the Queen of Denmark. And she has to pledge her allegiance to that country. The same is true for the bride in Psalm 45. She has become or will become part of another kingdom. It may look as though she stands to lose something, having to forget family and her people. However, the writer wants to assure us that far from losing something, she is taking on a position of incredible, incredible honour. She will be sought after. The city of Tyre will come with a gift. People of wealth will seek your favour. Tyre was a powerful trading centre, and she's going to be queen. She's going to be the wife of the king, and world powers will seek her favour. This is a privileged position. She is at the right hand of the king, which in itself is a bit strange, because isn't the wife usually on the left-hand side? But let's pause for a second. All this talk about weddings, I'm sorry. I don't know if you noticed, as the psalm was read, verse 6. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. The king is addressed as God. The king is addressed as God. Is this a mistake? It's a mystery, at least. And then God, speaking to the king, who is called God, says in verse 7, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above all your companions. The king is God, but God has set him above all people. Reminds me of Christmas. Does it remind you of Christmas? That paradox at Christmas where God's truth, humility, and justice are enfleshed, where the Lord of all, the God of all, becomes a baby. But it's about weddings, not Christmas. Psalms is the most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament. And the Psalms are often quoted in the New Testament, according to C.S. Lewis, because they have double meanings. Yes, they have a meaning for the original hearers hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, but they also have a meaning beyond that. And the writer of Psalm 45 is not suggesting that the king at this wedding is God. He's not suggesting that. He is God's king. He is sitting on the throne that God has established, and he reigns over God's people. Therefore, in some respects, he symbolizes and represents God to the people. But the original hearers and readers are not meant to think that the king is God, and they are definitely not meant to worship the king as God. But the writer, as we know, is pointing to another king, a promised king, God's forever king, the Messiah. In Psalm 45 is quoted in Hebrews chapter 1. And the writer is absolutely sure, there is no doubt in his mind, who this king is. There is no doubt that this king is God. The writer of Hebrews has been stressing in the first few verses that Jesus is the coming king, the promised king, the Messiah. And the writer of Hebrews says this. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions. by anointing you with the oil of joy. We'll come back to the joy a bit later. The writer of Hebrews says that this psalm is about Jesus. He is the King. He is the Son of God, and he comes to establish God's forever kingdom. Jesus is the most excellent of men whose lips have been anointed with grace. Jesus is the victorious King who has armed himself with truth, humility, and justice. And Jesus is the King who defeats the enemies, our enemies of sin and death. This isn't just a psalm about Jesus, however. This is a psalm about all of us. You see, in the Bible, marriage is often used to demonstrate the relationship that exists between God and his people. Way back at the Exodus, when God says he will rescue his people from slavery in Egypt, it is all couched in wedding language and wedding imagery. God is wedded to his people. God is wedded to us. When we come to the New Testament, Jesus is the groom and the church is his bride, his glorious bride. In verse 5 it says, "Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall beneath his feet." If the words of Jesus, the words that have come from the lips anointed with grace, have pierced your heart, we who once were enemies now stand as the bride of the King. Jesus not only conquers his enemies with truth, humility, and justice, he seeks to be wedded to them. He seeks to be wedded to us. Foreign conquered people are invited to change their allegiance, to forsake this world, and to become the bride of Christ. Is that a noble theme that stirs your heart? That you could be wedded to the Lord of all. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have pledged yourself to him, you are the bride here in Psalm 45. So we see in verse 11 that Jesus is enthralled by your beauty. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Me, beautiful. Jesus, enthralled with our beauty. What a privileged people we are. Jesus has made us beautiful in God's sight by his victory of truth, humility, and justice on the cross. Jesus has made us beautiful in his sight by cleansing us from our sin, our guilt, and our shame. And our response is to honor him. To honor him, for he is our Lord. What a privileged people we are. You are beautiful because of his beauty. You are beautiful because he has made you beautiful. Do you dare believe that? But there is more, because he bestows gifts. And as we continue our procession towards the King, we are being made more and more glorious. With each and every day as we draw closer to Jesus, we are not only glimpsing his glory, not only being prepared to share that glory, but we give others a glimpse of that glory. And in all of that, our allegiance strengthens. As a result of this, we should be a community of people who are shaped by joy. Each time we come on Sunday, it's a reminder of the wedding. It's a reminder of the joy that we have, that we have been saved. But how else can we to be shaped by joy? Well, as we keep walking towards the King, we will become a more joyous people. So joy appears something like 200 times in our English translations. But there are single-digit references to great joy, extravagant joy. The birth of Jesus is described as good news of great joy to all people. That's not just great joy. That is the greatest joy that you can experience. Jesus' resurrection is also referenced to as providing great joy. His ascension is one of the other references to great joy. I think we are to appreciate more and more what true joy is as we daily recognize the joy that we should have from being people with no beauty because of our sin, to being people of enthralling beauty because of what Jesus has done. As we daily continue our procession towards our King, our aim is to increasingly live as his beautiful, glorious bride. And we do that by adopting his agenda of love. And we learn love by being love. Where did you learn to love? You learned it from being loved. We learn love by being loved, so each day, let God love you. Let God love you and embrace his love more fully. Follow his agenda of love. Loving him, loving others. As followers of Jesus, as the church, whether we are married, single, widowed, child, adult, female, male, he is wedded to us. And he will not divorce us. He is wedded to us, and death can't end this marriage. If your allegiance is to the King of Kings, he will not abandon you. For those of you who may not have changed your allegiance, what more could God do to show you his love than giving himself in his Son, the Lord Jesus? Surely this is a noble theme to stir our hearts. He has invited you to the royal wedding, not just a royal wedding. He has invited you to the royal wedding. And he's covered the costs. He's covered all the costs. And yes, you are unworthy to be present there. But he is transforming you into his beautiful bride. Don't lock yourself out of the wedding. Accept the groom's truth, humility, and justice. Let God love you. Now is the time for us all to place our hearts and our lives into the hands of this great King. Now is the time to do that. Again, or for the first time. May he stir our hearts daily with this wondrous love. Please pray with me. Father, please stir up our hearts that again we might see your glory, your love, that we might be staggered again, that you make us beautiful, that we are lovely in your sight because of the love of your Son. Father, help us to rejoice each day as we move closer to you. Help us to be assured of your presence with us and your unending love for us. Amen.
Take a moment to allow God's word to soak into your heart something that you might have heard for the first time today. Another psalmist exhorts us to sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. Christians have a wonderful hope, a living hope. We don't hope for what we already have. We look forward to the return of Jesus. So please stand, join with us as we sing together. Glory and power to the one who loves us. Remain standing, as we would like to encourage each other now in saying together what it is we believe in. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please sit or kneel for prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are amazed at your love for us, love that surpasses everything we experience and understand from anyone else, love that stretches our understanding because of how wide and long and high and deep it is, love that meant that you gave your own beloved Son to die in our place and allow us to be made right and return to relationship with you. Thank you that you give us your Spirit to strengthen us in our inner being. Help us to be so rooted and established in your love that we are unshakable by the troubles and travails of this life, but rather be focused on the life to come. Loving God, we know that you can do more than we can ever imagine and more than we even think to ask, but we do ask that all you do in us and for us will be to give you glory and to honour your name. Help us as a congregation of your people here to be so filled with your love that it will be obvious to all around us that we follow you and turn to you as our Lord and Saviour. Lord God, we humbly thank you and adore you. Amen. Psalm 10 says, "Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless." And so we ask, Sovereign Lord, you observe all those who dwell on earth. Have mercy, we pray, on those who suffer now the miseries of a war not of their own making. Have compassion on the wounded and dying. Comfort the brokenhearted. Confound the hatred and madness of those who make war. Guide our rulers. Bring war to an end. Bring peace across the world. Unite us all under the reign of your Son, the Prince of Peace, before whose judgment seat the rulers of the world will give an account, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Almighty Lord and Judge of all, we know that the governing authorities we live under are established by your hand and remain in power thanks to your good provision. It is wonderful living in a society where we have peaceful and democratically elected officials, and we bring before you the federal government led by Anthony Albanese and the opposition led by Peter Dutton. Please help all our political leaders to seek wise counsel and look to provide leadership and make decisions that are from a deep sense of their duty and not just for a few from their own side of politics. Help them to have courage and to seek your guidance. Thank you for all who serve us in our federal legislature, and we ask that you will be with them as they do their jobs professionally and well. Amen. Lord Jesus, our shepherd, we pray for your clergy whom you have called to the ministry of uniform chaplaincy, and for those who proclaim your love and compassion where Australian military personnel serve. We thank you for their dedication to serve alongside the men and women of our defence forces and to be your presence in those places. Lord, strengthen their faith as they seek to witness to you in the secular world. Protect them from all dangers and comfort them in their long separations from their families and the familiar things of church. Lord, who bless the peacemakers, bless especially those chaplains serving overseas, helping to bring peace to nations which are struggling to find their identity and place in the world. Father, we also thank you for the work Trevor does in his role as an army chaplain. Thank you for equipping and preparing him for the work he does in supporting other chaplains and the defence staff. Please help him to be a strong witness of your love and saving power for all as he does this work in your kingdom. Lord God, we thank you for all in our defence forces and the chaplains who look to support them. Amen. Lord, our provider, we thank you for what Anglicare does in caring for so many in our community. At this time of year, we especially thank you for the work they do in providing Christmas cheer and goodwill through the Toys and Tucker campaign. Help us and others to be generous in their giving so that many will benefit from it. Thank you for the people at Anglicare who help make this happen, and we ask for your blessing on this campaign and for the people in need who are supported by Anglicare in the months ahead. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We ask that you will be with us as a congregation so that we may conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Help us to stand firm together and to be striving together as one. Help us to be united so that we will value each other and look to each other's interests. Heavenly Father, we also have people who have special needs at this time. Lord, please give them peace and comfort and the confidence to trust in you for their needs. Heavenly Father, we turn to you, trusting that in your mercy, you will uphold and provide for them at this time. Amen. And let us join together in the set prayer for today. Let us pray that God will keep us faithful in his service. Almighty God, our Creator and guide, may we serve you with all our heart and know your forgiveness in our lives. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth that we may tell of your saving works. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you. Amen.
It's now time for some family business, and Karen's going to kick us off first.
Good morning. It's an absolutely beautiful day to be outside with the young people from our church talking about God. So I just wanted to share that with you. So when you go out for morning tea, you're just going to love it. And actually, we just watched some birds spread out their wings and sunbake. It was just spectacular. But I'd like to invite you to join me tomorrow evening for our church prayer meeting. It starts at 7 o'clock and it's here in the church. We've enjoyed the series of sermons we've been having on Ephesians recently, And I personally, and I don't know about you, have been challenged by the prayers of Paul that we've read and looked at. And I'd like to invite you to come and help me tap into the power of God available to us through prayer. So if you're able to, please come along and join with me tomorrow night. Don't be surprised, it's Christmas time. If you've been in the shops lately, you'll know that the Christmas products are already on the shelves, and we're getting in early too. And I'm really keen for you to know about our women's Christmas dinner coming up early in December, on the 2nd of December. That's a Friday evening. And I'm delighted to tell you that we have a guest speaker, Jan Donoghue, coming to join us. Jan has been the chaplain at the Westmead Children's Hospital for many years. She's also chaplain to Mother's Union. She's worked with the Anglican deaconesses as well. So she's a well-reputed Christian women's worker, and she'll be wonderful to hear from on that evening. This is an opportunity for you to invite friends or family or neighbours along to join us, to get to know us. If you'd like to come, you can sign up at the back of the church or you can let me know. But it will be a wonderful evening to celebrate Christmas and Jesus as the light of the world. Thank you.
As mentioned in the prayers, please bring things to put on the back table that others who don't have the means to get things for Christmas, please bring some donations along in the next few weeks for that. After church, Tony and Yung Lan will be down the front if anyone would like prayer for anything that is happening in their lives at all. It's wonderful to have that ministry. And we want to thank you for the ways that people here continue to regularly support the ministry that's happening here so that we can continue both to love each other and love our community well. Thank you for whatever way it is that you choose to give. After the service, can we encourage you to, as Karen said, step outside so we have more space between us for keeping COVID safe as well. That would be great. In the scriptures, we are reminded that God's throne will last forever and ever. A sceptre of justice will be the sceptre of your kingdom. So let's stand as we sing together. The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The Lord enthroned forever, he is
Let me close with a prayer. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created, and by whose love we are redeemed and made beautiful, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you for coming today and sharing the love and joy of God with others who are present here. I hope you can stay for some morning tea with us.